Looky, looky here. People, humans, yes. Let me get a look at you. It's been 13 weeks, and man, you have changed. You've gotten so much younger. I've aged about 10 years, but you guys look good. Thankful that you're here this morning at Grace Point Church and also online. Let me just take a moment and welcome all of you online. Grace Point Church, I know many are still joining us online, and I know some are just not ready to come back, so we certainly understand that and are thankful that you're joining with us here this morning as we worship together, and thankful that all of you are here this morning. As you know, things are different. Things are a little different. You see that. We've had to change the times of the services and take out chairs and have a little bit smaller settings as we go forward, so just be patient with us. Hang in there through this process, and someday we'll get back to, you know, back to normalcy, where things are back to what we remember from the past. So just until then, thank you for your patience as we walk through this time, and thank you for coming to the 12 o'clock service. Bless you greatly. 10 o'clock was big. 8 o'clock was pretty big. And so we're thankful that you chose and are here at this 12 o'clock service. That helps a lot for space and things like that. So we're grateful. Thank you so much. Let me mention a couple things before we get started here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, in this prayer, this powerful prayer we're going to see in just a minute. We started a couple weeks ago. But as you're turning there and as we're beginning today, let me just mention one main thing. On Tuesday, this next Tuesday coming up, from 1 until 3 o'clock here at Grace Point Church in our parking lot, we will be doing another grocery giveaway. So we have about 100 bags of food that we want to give away to people. There's still, you know, many are still walking through difficult times. And so we want to be able to minister to people, encourage them. And so we did this a couple months ago, and the Lord sent us a lot of people that we were able to encourage and minister to. So we're going to do that again on Tuesday, this Tuesday from 1 until 3 o'clock. So let me encourage you, after this service, if you could go to Facebook, if you do social media, go to Facebook, and on our Grace Point page at the top, we have the advertisement there about this. And so if you would go there and just share that, we're trying to get that word out to as many people as possible. We've reached out to shelters in the area and to some other organizations in Denton that I know will, in talking with them, though, will get the word out and let people know. But we want to make sure that we get the word out, because I know many people are still walking through difficult times. But it's a great ministry that we're able to do here at Grace Point Church and that you're a part of. So thank you for your faithfulness in that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Today we're talking about this powerful prayer. Almost 60 years ago, a young missionary named Raymond Edmond staggered in from a jungle in Ecuador, desperately ill. The doctor took one look at him and said to his wife, "He won't make it through the night." Thousands of miles away in Boston, Ray Edmond's friend, Dr. Joseph, interrupted a prayer meeting and said, "We must pray for my friend Raymond Edmond, a missionary in Ecuador." And the group began to pray. Some of them stayed all night in prayer for this brother. Sometimes like 10 minutes for us is just like an eternity, right? Stayed all night praying. And that morning, Dr. Joseph called out and he said, "Praise the Lord, the victory has been won." And Raymond Edmond not only made it through the night, he eventually fully recovered and went on to become the president of Wheaton College and ministered for 40 more years. Years. This, my friend, is the power of intercessory prayer. Amen? The power of intercessory prayer that we just, I think, I do too, forget about this. And so this Colossians 1 is this prayer
that Paul is praying for the church.
The same prayer that we should pray for our church, for our husband, for our wife, for our children. And he shows us his prayer, how to pray for knowledge and then for the conduct that should follow. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that he's not just praying that they would know more. He's praying that they would know more so that we would walk worthy of the gospel. So let me show you Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I want to read verse 9 and 10, then we're going to stop there, and we're just going to finish, really, the last part of verse 10 is where we got to last time we gathered, and I was teaching on Colossians. So Colossians 1, verse 9, here's the prayer. He says this, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." We talked about that. "Asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Okay, so let me pause right there. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this, and you remember I showed you, took you to Colossians 2, and we learned that if we want to know the will of God, we look to Jesus. Okay, there we will find this next part, walking worthy of the gospel, right? So he wants them to have all spiritual wisdom and knowledge, not just to have the knowledge, but verse 10, look what he says then, "so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him." So here's what he's saying, real practical, that as you hear the teaching today, or any day, but let's just say here today, and you gain more knowledge about God and his word, it's so that when you hit that door and you leave this place, that whatever you heard, you will embrace that and integrate that into your life so that you will then walk worthy here. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as an employee, all things, as a friend, in everything. It's not just you leave here and go, "Well, that's a good sermon. I learned a lot." That's great. But what he's saying is that he's praying for them, and I think for us, that we will have this knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding so it will radically then impact the way that you live, how you do life. It's not just to know more about God. Yes, that's important. But verse 10, "so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work." We'll talk about this in a minute. "And increasing in the knowledge of God." And he's saying, it starts with us, look, the will of God is to look at Jesus. Verse 10, "walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Christ liked us, right? We look to Jesus to see how he'd, and we understand more, we gain knowledge. So I read this a couple weeks ago, but let me just circle back because I think it summarizes it again well. Here's this one writer says this, "as we come to see Jesus more clearly, we will grow in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's will." As we come to see Jesus more clearly, the gospel gets bigger and bigger in our hearts. And his death becomes more wonderful, his resurrection more amazing, sin becomes more disgusting, and the devil becomes more evil. As we see Jesus more clearly, the restoring work of the Spirit gets mightier. The global extent of the gospel becomes more important. That means we start to care more than just ourselves here. But we go beyond. As we see Jesus more clearly, our yearning for eternity becomes greater, and the love of God becomes more delightful. As we see Christ more clearly. And he's saying that is so then that you may walk. Not that you may just talk more about it. Not that you may just sit down and meditate on it. Those things are important. Not so that you just enjoy yourselves. Those are important too. But that you might walk. So here's the idea. It's very practical. You know, and that's, I'm all about takeaways. Like taking the knowledge we learn today and every day from the Word of God and from my devotion or from somebody else teaching. And I'm taking that knowledge. And that is helping me to walk worthy of the gospel. So it becomes more powerful when it becomes practical. How does this then
that has just impacted my life, right? And that's what he's wanting, that the truth, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's word and of God that we learn about each Sunday or in your Bible study time, whatever it may be, that knowledge helps you to walk even more in a way that will be pleasing to God. And he uses the word walk. Listen to what this one guy says, this Ray Stedman comments on walk. He says this, I like the figure because a walk, of course, merely consists of two simple steps repeated over and over again. It's not a complicated thing. And in the same way, the Christian life is a matter of taking two steps, one step after another. Then you are beginning to walk. So he's praying for the Colossians that they would have knowledge, increase in knowledge and understanding and spiritual wisdom so that they might walk. So we're praying for our children, right, so that they would increase in their knowledge of God and they would have spiritual understanding. Why? So that they may walk in a manner worthy of the gospel and fulfill what we were called to do, right? That's what to live in that way that honors God, glorifies God. And so that's the prayer we have for them and for our husband and for our wife, for our church. Now I want to take this last part of verse 10. That's all I have time for. That's all I'm going to do today is take the last part here where he says, I already just talked about, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord fully. See, I circle that word. I'm not going to dwell there, but fully pleasing to him. Not just like on Sunday when I show up to church, which is great, but fully, every way. Bearing, now here's the part I want to talk about today. Bearing fruit in every good work. Okay, so I think that's even more than what they were doing. In every good work. Not just some, but in everything, man. In everything. And, again, he's praying this, that they would increase in the knowledge of God. That they would increase in the knowledge of God. So takeaway number one. Takeaway number one is this. Don't settle. Pray for more. That's the first thing I see there. Don't settle. Pray for more. He's saying bearing fruit in every good work. So they're fully pleasing to him and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I think Paul is praying that they keep moving forward. More knowledge. Now here's the deal. He doesn't want the Colossians to rest on their accomplishments and to say, we're good. We're good. You know, matter of fact, Paul, you said to us, you affirmed us. Remember, we read that in the first part of chapter 1, that he said, man, I'm hearing great things from Epaphras, from you. You're loving all the saints. You have faith. You have hope. You got these things, and these are clear. This is great. But he didn't want to stop there. It's not like that's enough. So for us, it's not like, well, you know what, man? I'm pretty good about where I'm at right now, right? Coming to church. You know, giving, praying, everything's going on pretty good. Why do I need to push? And for us as a church, right? So let me say, as a church, we will never, this is I'm pastoring, I guess, you're supposed to never say never, but I'm going to say never. We will never come to a place where we just sit back and go, hey, man, I think we're good, all right? We're giving some food to the poor. Right? We're having worship services. The church is growing. The giving's strong. We got some good ministries. Stop yelling at us. Right? To do more. But we can never just settle back and settle in and say, hey, it's just... And as a husband, we're talking about this next week, the Father's Day. I never want to get to that place where I go, well, you know what? I'm just doing it. I'm doing enough, man. I mean, things are good, right? Things are good. I mean, or with our kids or whatever it may be, right? Paul is praying for more. So don't settle on this. Be thankful. So I have to be careful too. So when I look at Grace Point Church and I think where we started and how God has grown from 40 people to where it is today, I'm thankful. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for all that he's done and all he's doing, right? But I certainly don't think we ever come to a place to go, well, you know what? I mean, look at where we started. Look at where we're at now. I think this is pretty good. Let's just kind of, right? No, we pray for more, that we reach more, that more are saved, that we minister in more ways, that we continue to do more and not just to settle from where we're at and say, yeah. And that's what Paul's saying to these Colossians. He's saying, don't just rest on what you've accomplished. You've done well, but be bold in your faith. And I think that means having bold prayers. That's one way. That we don't settle, that we pray boldly for more. And I think that's okay. Now, understand, in the context of this, he's talking about spirituality. I think in the spiritual life, to pray for more of Christ and more opportunities to bear fruit and more in that way. And that's first and foremost. But I think we can take it from there even in more ways, that we pray for more. We don't settle and we pray. And then we pray boldly. And we remember the promises of God that we can pray bold prayers. We don't just settle. Well, you know what? Let me just don't get too radical. Right? Let's just settle in and pray these safety net prayers. Right? Because we're good, right? And so we got to be careful. We want to remember what the scriptures say about who God is, and that should drive the boldness of our prayers. What kind of prayers are you praying for your family, for your children, for your career, for your whatever it is? Are they bold? Are they bold, or just like, yeah, you know, I'm good. But let's just remember the promises of God that drive us to have these bold prayers as we pray for more. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, and what I'm sharing with you right now is not in the outline, by the way, it's just extra stuff. But Ephesians chapter 3 says, God will do more than we can think or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can think of some, I can imagine some amazing stuff in my mind. I can imagine. God says in his word, I can do more than that. All right, so let that be driving your prayers. I mean, what is your prayer life? When you look about, think about the boldness of your prayers. Does the boldness of your prayers point to the greatness of your God? It says something. I love to hear people pray bold prayers. I said, man, that tells me something about what they believe about God. And they're praying some radical, bold prayers. Jeremiah 32:7. Now, I give you these scripture passages because when we pray bold prayers, we want to pray the will of God. What we know that the word of God is the will of God. So when we pray, I pray with boldness. I recite these prayers and I pray these prayers back to God. Because it's his word. And so I know there's power in praying the word of God. We pray Jeremiah 32:7. Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is. So I ask that, right? Or Luke 18, verse 27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Sometimes we forget that. In Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And then Romans chapter 4, verse 21, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Okay, see, because we're praying the promises of God. Now look, I don't have time to go into all this, but I'm not saying you just pray boldly and you're going to get everything you want. Let's get past that. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is I'm going to pray bold prayers based on the scriptures tell me to do that, which say I had this powerful God. Right? And I'm going to pray my heart, and then I'm going to trust God to do what God wants to do. He may answer in a bold way and change that circumstance or bless or whatever it may be, but he may not. But here's the deal. In the process of praying that bold prayer, something happens in you too. Something happens in you. And that relationship that you have with God, even if it doesn't all play out the way you want it to, there's something about the building of your faith and the trusting of God that he honors that, man, and he begins to shape and transform and give you a stronger faith through the process of that. So we never want to stop believing in the power of God to do radical, life-changing, transforming things. Don't settle. Pray for more. Pray for more in your marriage. That's biblical. God wants you to have a deeper, richer, greater marriage. Pray for more in that. I love the story of Matthew chapter 14 of Peter when he got out of the boat. I've talked about this before. You've heard it before. I love the story. It's just a bold prayer. I'm going to paraphrase it and summarize it. Peter's in the boat with disciples, and the storm comes up, and they get frightened. And the Bible says that they look out, and they see Jesus walking on the water. They didn't know it was him. First, they thought it was a ghost. So they cried out. And Jesus says, yes, it is me. And Peter then said, if it really is you, then tell me to come to you. Now, see, that's a prayer. We could say that's a prayer. That's a bold prayer right there. He's saying to Jesus, God in the flesh, if it's you, tell me to come to you. That's boldness. And you remember the Bible says that Jesus said to him, come, right? And in the story, Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on water for a short period of time, and then the Bible tells us that he begins to sink, and the Bible says that immediately, Matthew 14, immediately Jesus reaches out his hand to save him. And they get back in the boat, and the Bible says that they were in awe and worshiped him. Talking about Jesus. Now, from that bold prayer, I'm going to give you, fairly quickly, I'm going to give you seven things we learned from that. All right, these are just quick bullets from a bold prayer of faith that he prayed, and then his step of faith. Number one, here's the first thing. Look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. So when you find yourself, especially in storms, in difficulties of life, look for Jesus and then keep looking to Jesus, right? So Peter saw him looking for him, and he continued to do that. The problem was, he stopped looking to Jesus. And that was when he began to sink. So in the storms, you look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. Number two, when Jesus commands you, obey him. So look, when it comes to the will of God, when you are seeking the will of God, I have always believed, and I still believe, that the primary way God is going to speak to you is through his word. So you know that when he gives you a word, just like he literally gave Peter a word, come, right? What did he do? He went. Peter didn't just go, yeah, I hear you, but this whole walking on water thing, never done it before. Doesn't make a lot of sense. When he spoke, he moved. And so for us, when God speaks through his word, that's where it's going to happen. All right, and he commands, then what we learn is we obey. Number three, faith is simply taking the next step. Faith is taking the next step. Peter took one step to get out of the boat and onto the water, and he was doing just fine, I think, until he looked beyond that next step. And when we look beyond the next step, that's when we ran into problems. Faith is just taking the next step. Next week, we're going to talk about this. What's your next step? We're not going to get time to do it today. Matter of fact, that's takeaway number two. We're not going to get to that. But we're talking about it next week. What is your next step? So don't look. Try not to look beyond that. That's a classic Pastor Dave battle I have with God. Is look, just give me the plan. Just let me know how it's going to go down. And I trust you then, and I'll go. And it doesn't work that way, right? So faith is taking the next step. Number four, faith unleashes the supernatural power of God in your life. Faith does that. It unleashes the supernatural power of God. Peter did not experience the power of God in his life that allowed him to walk on water until he trusted God. And that was evidenced by his actions of getting out of. So faith unleashes the power of God in your life, man. Taking that step. Number five, fear will always sink you. Fear will always sink you. When Peter had faith, what happened? He walked on water. When he had fear, he sank. Fear will always sink you. Number six, not everyone will be cheering you on. You know, I've seen this biblically first and foremost, and then experientially, but people will have bold faith and pray bold prayers. Man, not everybody is cheering them on. And a lot of times people think, man, that's not going to happen. That can't happen. And they process just kind of practically speaking without God involved in, right, with the boldness. And so not everybody, when you pray bold prayers, when you have bold faith, not everybody's going to be cheering you on. And think about this with Peter, and I'm kind of injecting some things here, just my own thoughts, okay? So Peter, he walks on water, and then he sinks, so he's wet. He gets back in the boat, and I'm sure maybe, I don't know, some of the disciples could have easily said, look, we told you so, man. Look at you. You sank, right? They could have done that a lot. That's how some people are. They're going to focus on the negative. Instead of saying, like, if we were in the boat, what I think I would, I don't know, but I would have said, man, you're wet, dude. You sank, but you walked on water, right? Do we forget that part? A lot of times people are preaching that and they go, he took his eyeballs. Gee, man, he sank like a rock. Yeah, he did.
Back up a few verses. What did he do before he sank like a rock? He walked on water, man, because of bold faith. You know, I summarize it this way. I've said it before. I'll just remind you again. A bold failure is better than a sissy success. That's how I look at it. And that's bold faith. So many people. Look, so many Christians. Just relax, man. We don't need to do all that stuff, man. Just relax. And we miss out on the supernatural power of God working in. We just get mediocre average. We miss out on that space where God does something that only God can do in your life because you said, I'm going to have bold faith. And we just go, yeah, don't press it, man. You might get wet. You might sink. It's not going to work. There's going to be people that are going to say that. Not everyone. You just learn that. Will be cheering you on. And the last one is this, number 7, is you can choose to worry or you can choose to worship. You can choose to worry. That worry thing, I get hung up on it, but here's what I see in this story right here. In an instant, when you read through it, in an instant, these guys went from worrying that this boat's going to tip over, we might die, to worshiping God. That's how it ends. Jesus gets in the boat, and they were in amazement and worshiped him. Now, just a little bit before, they were worried for their lives, right? So we choose to worry or we choose to worship. Now, I know we've talked about this before. Easier said than done, right? But we want to make that choice to worship and not worry. That's bold in itself. So bold prayers, bold faith. Don't settle. Pray for more and run that out in all different situations for you, all different contexts. Don't settle, pray for more. Now, let me just kind of finish with this part right here. Sometimes I think we could say, okay, I hear you praying, you know, pray for more and I need more. And I'm talking, you know, first and foremost about in your spiritual life, right? That you desire more of God, that you desire to move forward in your faith. Right, that you desire to grow. And that's kind of what the push is today a little bit on you and next week and me is to push you more a little bit to really pray for more in your spiritual life. You know, what's your next step? We all, myself included, you know, we need to have that next step. He says it right here. He's praying, right, that they would grow in knowledge, know more of God. So what? So they can then impact their life, man, and the way they're doing life. It affects everything around them and all of your relationships. So that being said, sometimes it's like, well, you know what? I hear you. Pray for more. Don't settle. But I'm barely surviving right now. You know, how am I supposed to pray for more? I'm struggling right now. I feel like that Peter when he went under the water. Or I've hit a wall. Or I'm in this spiritual rut that happens at times. So what do we do when we get there? And that's how I'll finish this thing. But I wrote down a few notes. Maybe some of you can relate to this, and then some of you won't be at that place right now, which is great. It's our kind of stagnant, a rut. How do I move out of this thing? I've kind of been there for a long time. And so I wrote down years ago, I kind of walked through my own thing. And so I remember maybe you can relate to some of these things. There are days or weeks or even months when I read the Bible, does nothing for me. There are whole seasons of Sundays when I sing praise and feel nothing. There are times of prayer where the silence just defeats me because it's so deafening. I read Christian books and podcasts and listen to sermons, but it doesn't budge my spiritual life. Still struggle. And then maybe sometimes, and we don't like to say this out loud either, but I think you have to, I do, because I think people struggle at times. There are too many times when I doubt the very existence of God. Maybe some look around based on their own life or whatever's happening, and you go, man. And we don't say that out loud because we get nervous about that. Like, whoa, somebody. But maybe that's, you know, I've had my journey with that, right? And the good news is that God brings you through that.
and you're stronger because of it when you are honest with this and you face this like we are today. So if you feel that way, maybe you don't, but maybe you know somebody who does, or you can encourage someone, or maybe down the road you're going to feel this way. There's three things that we must do if we find ourselves in this place, okay? These three things, based on what the scriptures teach, more knowledge, will lead you out of the valley. I'm 100% confident in that, because it's based on what the scriptures teach, okay? First and foremost. Number one, here's the first one, right? First is we must continue to seek God, even when we don't feel like it. Not hearing the prayers, or not feeling like my prayers are being heard, whatever it is. But Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So every one of these last three points start with the word seek. That's our part. We must do something, right? So seeking God, O Lord, you have not forsaken those who seek you. So listen, the way out of it is that you must keep doing the things you know are right. That's the way out of it. That is the way out of it. You keep doing the things that you know are right, even when you don't feel like it. So you keep reading your Bible. You keep going to church. You keep praying. You keep connecting with other believers. You keep worshiping. You keep listening to that praise music. You keep doing those things, even when you're thinking, man, this is just not. You keep seeking God. And the Bible tells us he has not forsaken those who seek him. So that's the pathway out, is to continue to seek God. Number two, here's the second thing. Seek a friend, godly friend, I should put in there. Godly friend or godly counsel. Share it with someone. Talk through it with someone. It helps. Listen to this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all." If it's somebody in your house, that's where you start. That's where you start, in your house, right there. And if you are not in that place, then your job, my job, is to do this. Man, encourage the faint-hearted. If he or she is in your home, help the weak. Be patient. Be patient with them all, man. We need that counsel. We need that encouragement. We need that brother or sister in Christ. One writer says it this way: the deepest saints and the strongest leaders need Christian comrades to strengthen their hands in God. David was deep, he was strong, but he needed Jonathan. Christian camaraderie is not just for the new recruits, it is for every believer. We never grow out of our need for the ministry of other Christians. If you think you're beyond the need for daily exhortation in the fight of faith, then probably your heart has already fallen prey to the deceitfulness of sin. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a great warrior. He was no doubt superior to Jonathan in strength, intelligence, and depth of theological understanding. David was superior to Jonathan. But the Bible says that Jonathan went, talking about to David, Jonathan went and strengthened his hand in God. God used Jonathan to strengthen David. Don't ever think that a man so strong that he does not need to be strengthened in God. So seek godly friends, godly counsel. And then the last one is to seek truth, and that comes from the Word of God. To seek the truth of God's Word. So in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20 through 24, and some of you, this will be a familiar verse, but I think a lot of us know verse 23 and 24, but I want you to get back up to verse 20 where it starts and bring you a little context. So Jeremiah, at this point when he wrote Lamentations 3, was very, very low, very struggling. His beloved Jerusalem had been devastated, and he's lamenting it, right? And he says, and he cries out, and this is Lamentations 3:20 that leads into a real popular verse. He says this: "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." So he's talking about, you know, lamenting and grieving, struggling. Now listen, "but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. You see what he did? That's what, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So my question is this, especially when you're facing difficulty and struggles and trials, what are you calling to mind? What are you calling to mind? Here's how it plays for me a lot of times, and I've had to discipline myself to stop, is what I call to mind is the problem over and over again. Or the fear over and over again. Or the what if over and over again. And the more I call that to my mind, my hope vanishes. So the question is, what is it that you're calling to mind? And for us to find our way out of that dark valley, we seek the truth. And but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And what does he call to mind? Verse 23 and 24. That the mercy, steadfast love and the mercy of God continually calling to you. That continues to do the things you know that are right. And at some point, look, at some points it's going to get traction. And then it starts to move you from that place to a place of hope. But it starts with us having to seek the truth. Paul Tripp, who's just a great author, I love him. I'm going to read this and then I'm praying for you and we'll be done this morning just for our time together. Here's what he says. He says that we were designed to live for God's glory, but sin causes us to make life all about our own glory. And unless these things change in our hearts, our behavior won't change at all. Or if it does change, it won't change for very long. No amount of commitment to self-reformation change your or my heart. No amount of work to alter bad habits will change your heart. Good intentions, but it won't change your heart. No amount of beating yourself up with guilt and shame will change your heart. No running from certain situations or relationships has the power to change your heart. You can't run from sin because you can't run from you. The most courageous acts of penance in the world are powerless to do what needs to be done, which is radically transform our hearts. So you and I are left with one option. You and I are left with only one final option. It is the only choice, he writes, that makes sense. Everything else is insanity. And we need to do this again and again and again until we don't need to do it anymore. We need to run to the grace of Jesus. Run for forgiveness. Run for power. Run for transformation. Run for deliverance. Run, run, run. And don't ever stop running to grace. Until Jesus has taken you home to a place where you need to run no more. We need to run to the grace of Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Just stay seated where you are this morning. But we want to pray. Father, I want to pray. I want to pray especially for those who might be struggling. Kinds of things I know that can be on us right now, and just valleys that are deep for some. I know that. And so I pray, God, that those who are struggling, that they will call to mind once again. Call to mind once again. Promises of hope in darkness, light in darkness, that you will empower us to keep doing the things we know are right, God. And we boldly are going to pray, God, for you to do more. We don't want to settle. We pray for more. So we thank you for, as we have heard and reminded of this morning, God, your mercies that are new every day. Your grace that covers us in every single way. Thank you for that. And may your word and your truth lift the hearts and spirits of every person here this morning, God, as we run to you. For grace. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much online. Thank you, Grace Point Church Online, for joining us today. We're
We're praying that you have a great week and that you join us next Sunday. Again, we'll be 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 12 o'clock. So we hope you'll join us here at Grace Point Church Online. Have a good week.